Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Since 1985, Vassar and New York Stage and Film have been partnering in the Powerhouse season, a collaboration known for being the springboard to new stories that go on to theaters across the country and around the world. The 2018 season begins this weekend with the first of two readings festivals and continues through July 29th, bringing some of the most influential theatrical voices working today to Poughkeepsie, New York, for fully staged and workshop productions of new plays and musicals and readings of other works in progress. Joanna Felzer is the Artistic Director of New York Stage and Film, and she joins us now with a preview. Joanna Felzer, welcome back to the Roundtable, and congratulations on another wonderful season at Vassar.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to finally be here and actually be doing it instead of just thinking about it and talking about it.
Well, you have to talk about it a little bit more with me.
A pleasure.
All right. Let's start with the main stage performances. The first thing on the main stage, running June 28th through July 8th, is a play by Liza Birkenmeier called Radio Island.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm so excited about with Liza, and in some ways it's reminiscent to me of the way I felt seeing Sarah Dillaps play The Wolves a couple of years ago, is, you know, here's this very early career playwright with a really bold imagination and a really specific voice. And I think one of the problems that's happening in the field right now is that it's very hard for playwrights to get full productions. You know, there's any number of developmental opportunities and readings and workshops, and you know that I love those more than many things. But I think the opportunity for writers to see their work fully realized in three dimensions, in the company of actors who've had a real process and with a director and a design team, is increasingly rare. And this was one of those plays that I thought, there's only so much she's ever going to learn about it in a reading kind of format. And this is a play in part because it's hugely atmospheric, that it needs to be seen for real. So I'm super happy to be giving her that opportunity. It's kind of a ghost story. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a thriller, and it's also a deep sort of psychological drama. So all of those things are at play at once. And I'm really pleased that she's working with Jackie Bradley. Jackie's production of Good Men Wanted was on our main stage last year. And I, again, was just so taken with the scale of Jackie's theatrical imagination. So putting these two together in this project felt like a great experiment to us. And they're going gangbusters in the rehearsal room right this second.
I bet. Some of the words you use to describe Radio Island sound a little bit more like movie words than words usually applied to a play. Is it specifically theatrical?
Oh, yeah, it's enormously theatrical. And in fact, maybe only theatrical. But I do think that notion of how do you create a thriller on stage is a real challenge. And it is something that we see very rarely, but it's so fun from an audience point of view when you're sort of in the middle of a theatrical equivalent of a page turner, you know, where you really want to know from a very specific plot-driven place, what is going to happen to these people?
The next main stage show running July 19th through the 29th is called The Waves. It's adapted from the novel by Virginia Woolf, with a book by Lisa Peterson, music and lyrics by David Bucknam, additional music by the fantastic Adam Guan. It also has Raul Esparza as a creative consultant, which is just talent after talent after talent, starting with Virginia Woolf's novel.
Yeah, it's kind of a dreamy team, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it's an adaptation of her novel. And this was a piece, actually, that Lisa and David Bucknam started working on together almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it was off-Broadway 30 years ago, so this is like
a New York Theater Workshop
reimagining.
And a real reexamination. I mean, I think the tragedy is that David died shortly thereafter, and I think they were very young artists at that point, early in their careers, and I think it's a piece that demands, in some ways, a maturity to fully understand. I mean, it tracks these six people who grow up together, and you see them, this is in Virginia Woolf's novel, you see them as children, you see them at school, and then you see them come back together as adults. And one of the things that's most interesting about the way I think Lisa and Raul and Adam are approaching this now is, what is it as artists to reexamine a piece that you made so early in your career, and frankly so early in your life, and when you come back to it with the accumulated knowledge of decades, and not just the experience within your work and the development of your craft, but a real shifting sense of what the meaning of that is. So the opportunity to give them a structure, you know, this isn't a revival.
Right.
This is a real reexamination of this piece. Adam is writing new music. One of the beautiful things about this is that Adam Guan was one of David's last students at NYU.
Oh, wow.
So I think he feels both a real sense of legacy, a real responsibility to David's vision, but also a real trust that David's art has been instilled in Adam in some way. And so the new material that he's going to create, I think, will be full of respect for all of the beginnings that David made, but also all of Adam's unique perspective that he'll bring to it.
Continuing to talk about musicals, we have the musical workshops in the Martel, starting with Alice by Heart, which is a book by Stephen Sater with Jesse Nelson, music by Duncan Sheik. Jesse's directing it. And this cast is insane. You know, the casting.
Yeah.
It's Alex Brightman and Heath Saunders and Leslie Margarita. It's amazing. Noah Galvin, who was just in Dear Evan Hansen. It's going to be
yep.
so good.
I know. It's getting really dreamy up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so this is Stephen and Duncan's take on Alice in Wonderland. They've set it in London during the Blitz, during World War II. And what you see is a community of teenagers who've had to kind of take refuge as the bombs are falling around them. And as a way of escape, they dive into the pages of their favorite storybook.
And it has a lot of people for a show at Powerhouse.
A cast of 10, yeah. And I think we'll have 7 musicians.
Wow. That should be fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the next musical at the Martel is The Connector, music and lyrics by Jason Robert Brown, with a book by Jonathan Mark Sherman, directed by Daisy Prince.
Well, this is our first outing with Jason, so I'm thrilled to welcome him to Powerhouse for the first time. I mean, he's such an extraordinary talent.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really fun, well, fun. It's a complicated story about a young reporter, full of ambition and brilliant, who ends up at a magazine that is perhaps a bit like The New Yorker, and who turns out a series of extraordinary pieces of journalism that garner enormous attention and is, over time, found out to be perhaps not exactly who he presents himself as. Sound familiar?
Yes. Yes. Speaking of that, before we move on to the remaining offerings to discuss, as you program the season, how much does the moment you're living in influence what you choose, if you can quantify it?
Oh, God, it's so hard to know. I mean, I feel like it's one of those things that always makes sense in retrospect. And as you're piecing together the season, it feels less unified than that. Really, I think more than anything, we're responding to artists in the moment that they are in. So we didn't in any way set out to create a thematic season at all. But I do think when you gather a group of artists who are trying to tell the stories of where they find themselves at any particular moment, there are definitely going to be some areas of overlap. And I'm not sure that, I don't know, the world is spinning so fast right now.
I know. What is the moment
that we made 4 months ago that related to that particular time or 8 months ago almost have nothing to do with last week or yesterday and tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It always feels a bit like a fool's errand to me to attempt to program stories that speak to our time, other than to say we always trust our artists to reflect our humanity back to us, right?
Right.
These are the people to whom we turn to help make sense of ourselves in both a historical moment and a moral moment, as individuals, as members of a community. And so somewhere in the aggregate of that, I think there is a real truth.
Well said. So this weekend, I'll come back to the musical workshops in the Shiva, because this weekend we have the first of the free readings in the Shiva, which is a number of plays, it's sort of in maybe the first time on their feet with actors reading them or very early in those stages. Tell us about the free reading series.
Yeah, it's great. They all got up here yesterday and started work. So right now, scattered all over campus in different rehearsal rooms, we have 5 different teams at work, each with their own cast, their own director, and obviously their own playwright. And they're all at really different stages. I mean, for example, Rupi, who wrote 2 extraordinary books of poetry, Milk and Honey and The Sun and Her Flowers, is trying to figure out what the theatrical adaptation of her work will look like. So she's working with Leah Gardner. You know, yesterday they had a table spread full of all of her amazing poems, and really figuring out how to knit together a theatrical journey through that work. So they'll be joined, they're having 2 days just as a writing retreat, and then they'll be joined by cast members tomorrow to start to bring those to life. Hallie Pfeiffer's play, The Pain of My Belligerence, is a piece that she's working on with Trip Cullman.
Mm-hmm.
I got to spend the afternoon in rehearsal with them yesterday, which was such a treat, because They're on, I think, their fourth project together. So there's this real shared, deep understanding of, frankly, of Hallie as a storyteller. And they have a great and dreamy cast. This is a piece that Hallie is both performing in and writing.
Oh, cool.
And she performed in work of her own before, but never as it's come to fruition. So she's done like a second production. But to really build this piece from the inside out is a fascinating process to watch. And I think she's just such an amazing writer. So that is a real pleasure to be in the presence of. And then there's, you know, three more. I don't know how much detail we can go into other than to say basically from Friday night through Sunday evening, it's a marathon.
Yeah. Festival readings, June 22nd through the 24th. More information online, of course, and we will give that URL at the end of the conversation, and it'll be on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. There's another readings festival later in July that, of course, that information online as well. And let's talk about the musical workshops in the Shiva, the first of which is Little Orphan Danny, which is a musical memoir from the Dan Band's frontman.
And this is a piece that we've actually been nurturing for a couple of years, really from a conversation that Dan and I had after I saw the Dan Band for the first time. And I was like, don't you want to write a musical? And I was sort of thinking it would be like a Dan Band musical. And to my surprise and sort of deep pleasure, he said, oh, yeah, I do. And in fact, here's the story I want to tell. And he told us the story of his search as an adopted kid for his birth mother.
Oh, wow.
And then, not just that, I mean, you know, for those of you who know the Dan Band, you know that he's hilarious and profanity-laced and wild, and this piece is all of those things, but it's also this incredibly tender story of what it is to reconcile his deep love for his mother who raised him and his equally deep curiosity to know the woman who gave birth to him. And then once he found her, to reconcile having both of those women in his life in a true way.
And how lucky for him that his nickname can rhyme with another musical about an orphan. So fun.
Right?
Little Orphan Danny is running July 25th, 26th, and 28th in the Shiva. It's a musical workshop. The other Shiva musical workshop is called Cowboy Bob.
Yeah, and actually that one pops back to the Martell because it happens simultaneously with Little Orphan Danny.
Oh, okay.
For people who are musical fans, do know that the last weekend of our season, we have musicals in every one of our three venues. So the Waves in the Powerhouse, Cowboy Bob in the Martell, and Little Orphan Danny in the Shiva. So, you know, want to hear some great tunes and some great stories.
Sometimes you can even, if you, and I do this, is how I know, go on a Saturday and sometimes it works. You can see three things in one day if you have the stamina.
That's right. Fueled by power bars and a lot of iced coffee.
That's right. So Cowboy Bob is created by Molly Beach Murphy, Jenna Phillips, and Annie Tipp.
Yeah, and it's a great story that I think is loosely based on a real story of a woman who, for 10 years, dressed as a man, dressed as Cowboy Bob, and robbed banks all over this small town in Texas. Incredibly
for 10 years, banks. Evaded capture for 10 years. That's amazing.
For a decade, right? And during that time, you know, I think what is meaningful about the story is not just sort of the great adventure of that, but also the ways in which, as the story shattered, as her disguise was ripped from her, essentially, who were the people who tracked her journey and who were inspired by her boldness to transform their own lives?
That is Cowboy Bob. And then we have just a couple more minutes to talk about the Inside Look Play workshops and the Training Company. Which one do you want to hit first?
Oh, let's talk about the Training Company for a second.
Okay, sure.
So the great thing about the Training Company to me, well, you know, when Powerhouse was started, it was with the idea that we wanted to be able to support work at any stage of its development. And I think the corollary to that is we want to be engaged with and supporting the development of artists at all different stages of their careers. So while it is delightful to have artists like Jason Robert Brown and Duncan Sheik here, we also want to make sure that we're nurturing the next generation of storytellers and theater practitioners. And one of the ways that we can do that most directly is through our training company. So these are 45 college-age artists who come from around the country. They study playwriting, directing, and acting. They choose a specialty. And they have classes led by a fantastic faculty. They generate their own work. They also are performing publicly in condensed versions of classic material. They do an amazing process called sound painting that they perform in the art gallery here. And they're embedded into the professional rehearsal rooms and performances. So they're having the opportunity not just to develop as artists themselves, but also to look at people who are a generation or two ahead of them and to learn from their process as well.
Just looking at the performance schedule for the training company, it seems completely fulfilling and totally exhausting.
Oh, yeah, it's action-packed. These kids aren't going to sleep until August.
And then we have the Inside Look play workshops in the Shiva, starting with India Pale Ale.
Yeah, this is a really beautiful play about a Southeast Asian community in Wisconsin and the daughter in this family who, in part inspired by the legend of Brown Beard, who was an ancestor many generations back who participated in the beer trade, right, the triangle of the beer trade. And she really feels a deep need to break out of the confines of her community and yet also a deep pull to remain within the security and the safety and the legends of her own family. It's a play that I think will be filled with, there is some music in that as well. There are pirates, there is drumming, and there may or may not be samosas.
And the other Inside Look play workshop is called Our Country. It's conceived by Annie Saunders and Becca Wolf, with additional devising by the company.
Yeah, I mean, this is a story that Annie and Becca created based in some part on Annie's relationship with her brother and also inspired by Antigone. And what happened is, and I don't think I'm giving anything away, but Annie's brother got involved in the marijuana industry in Northern California. And that right now, you know, you talk about things that are ever changing, it's kind of the Wild West out there again. So what is that when you look at the history of our country, to find these places where the practices, the economy, the morality are literally on the edge. And what is it to have a deep kinship and a profound love for somebody who is perhaps capable of violence that you can't imagine?
Joanna Felzer is the artistic director of New York Stage and Film. Joanna, you are fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and congratulations on putting together another season.
Oh, it's always so fun to talk to you about it. I can't wait to see you down here.
Powerhouse.vassar.edu for more information. That link will be posted at wamc.org/roundtable, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.